In the tiny world of slam poetry, Jack McCarthy was a gigantic name. He hadn't even been to a poetry slam until he was in his 50s, but once he went, he was instantly hooked. His sometimes funny, sometimes angry, sometimes gentle, and always poignant poems ended up winning national awards and accolades. This was even though poetry slams are usually the province of the young. But as one young poet once told another one at a slam, this guy's a legend. He's going to clean the floor with us. McCarthy started his slam career in the Boston area and relocated to Washington State later in life. And last week, the poetry scene lost McCarthy's voice, at least on the stage. He died of cancer at age 73. Michael Brown is a poet from Maine who was a friend of Jack McCarthy, and he joins us on the line from Robinson, Maine. And Michael, we're sorry you lost this friend, and I want to note that I live near one of the places where Jack sometimes performed, and I'm so sorry now that I never actually got to go there and hear him in person.
Well, that's true for a lot of people, that he did perform in some pretty large places, mainly after he left for the West Coast.
You know, he was widely considered the king of the poetry slam. How were his poems different than other slam poets, and what made them so distinctive?
Well, what made them distinctive, which is true for a lot of poets, is Jack's voice, the poet's voice. Every time we have someone come into a poetry venue, we add a new voice. And that was particularly true in the earlier years, when Jack started in the early 90s. The one key to Jack's poetry, all of his work, it was always sincere. There was a sincerity that ran through all of Jack's poetry, and a feeling that he had about everything that he did that really made him distinctive.
As I was listening online and reading online last night and this morning some of his poems, you know, again, many of them were humorous. They contained a lot of emotion, but somehow understated emotion, and they sometimes took unexpected turns. This is one of his poems called Car Talk, a love poem, which has to do with the car troubles that often seem to plague him and his wife, Carol.
Sometimes I get home from work and Carol's ecstatic. Jack, I met the most wonderful tow truck driver today. We towed the car to Peter's and he brought me back all the way to the door. We had the most incredible conversation. He's a very unusual person. Right, Carol? Like, you're not. A couple of years with me, she's on a first-name basis with every tow truck driver in Middlesex County. AAA has us on speed dial. One time we were driving somewhere together and she reflected, you know, if your first marriage had worked out better, you wouldn't have been available for me, and vice versa. I thought, what a classic she is. The miles look good on her.
You know, when I first heard that, I actually laughed out loud. And, you know, sometimes you're not sure at first where Jack is heading, and then there's a touching turn and a big reward at the end. Was that unique to his style?
No, that's not. That's very common, but Jack did it particularly well. You heard in that excerpt you just played the tone differences that happen within a matter of 10 or 15 seconds, that he's excited at one point, and then he's got this tenderness at another point, and then he's got this kind of sly comment at another, and that's what the narrative framework allows you to do. And yes, Jack did that really well.
And his voice, as you said, his voice, he used it so well. He seemed to have a lot of love and delight in his life, particularly in his marriage, which I believe was his second marriage. But he also struggled with alcoholism and divorce and early rejections of his poetry. How does that side of his life come through in his work?
Well, he had pretty much settled the alcoholism and with his first marriage and with his children by the time he came to the Poetry Slam and the poetry venue, which was the Cantab Lounge in Cambridge, where the open mic was very, very strong. But he kept it alive in the sense that people who have given up drinking do. He was a member of AA. He would go to a national poetry slam, for instance. He would find meetings in that town. He would go to them.
We were listening to an independent podcast that took calls from people who wanted to pay tribute to Jack, and a lot of people called to thank him. In fact, one person said, I want to thank you not just for your poetry, but for the poetry that you have made possible. Does that mean Jack inspired or encouraged other people to write poetry too?
More than that. I wrote just a short piece on Facebook about Jack when he died. And what I was saying was that if you were in performance poetry from the mid-90s on, you were influenced by Jack McCarthy, whether you knew that or not. That what he had brought to the poetry performance community was this style, this feeling, this type, that you could speak about things that you really felt, and you could still get the zingers and things into that. And everybody learned. And if you didn't learn it from Jack directly, you learned it because other people in the community did, and you picked it up from them.
Is there one story about Jack or one of his poems that you most remember him by?
I remember most a poem of Jack's that was retired. One of the things that you were talking about just a couple of minutes ago is that Jack was a gentle person. He was not a contentious person. He didn't make people feel uncomfortable. He did just the opposite. He did a poem one time about Muhammad Ali that was a very pitying poem, and I thought that was the wrong tone. I had met Ali a couple of times, and so I wrote a poem in response to that, and there was never any contention or anything about it. Jack simply retired his poem.
Jack, as we said, had cancer, and he knew that his life was coming to an end, and we have a piece of sound of him reading a poem called Victory that he wrote. It was among his last poems, and it makes a reference to a Dylan Thomas poem.
So forgive me, Dylan. I will go gentle into that good night, or afternoon, as the case may be. There's no rage in me, not anymore. The years have been too kind. Allow the light the right to die. This is like waking up from an unremembered afternoon dream of a race. Who won? It's irrelevant. The stands are emptying out, and I am loping along alone on the track, cooling down, breathing easily now, taking my own sweet time. That's what this feels like, my victory lap.
It seems like so much of what he wrote involved looking back on life, coming to terms with life. Do you think that's what a lot of it was?
Yeah, you have the experience and then you write about it. You process it through poetry. And the contrast between him and Dylan Thomas there is an interesting one, because for Thomas it was rage against the dying light, even though Thomas was writing about his father. And Jack, of course, is showing us a way. I'm the same age Jack is. One of the things we have to consider is how we're going to die. And that poem of Jack's is an excellent example of one way to go without making it worse.
Michael Brown is a poet from Maine who was a friend of slam poet Jack McCarthy, who died last week. Michael, thanks for talking with us about Jack.
You're quite welcome, Sasha.
Thanks to New Hampshire Public Radio for some of the sound of Jack McCarthy we heard today. And a reminder that you can hear our program anytime at hereandnow.org. Before we go today, music from John Fulbright, a 24-year-old Oklahoman with a Grammy nomination for Best Americana Album. You're listening to Here and Now.